The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, at age 19, Amy Ford had an unplanned pregnancy. Her son, Jess, now shares his journey after learning that he was almost aborted.
I believe that I was a mistake, that I was unwanted, that my parents, they didn't want me then and they don't want me now. I believe those lies and really just fell into this anxious depression because I felt like I lost my purpose. I felt like I lost my reason for being here. Mm-hmm.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, here with Randy Robeson. And, you know, I have been here a much shorter amount of time than Randy, obviously. But every now and again, I'll get to watch an old show. And I saw a clip of a show where there was a young woman on talking about a child that she almost aborted and then did not. And she talked about what a remarkable man he is. And I'm found myself thinking, I wish I could meet him. Well, watch this clip and I'll tell you the rest of the story.
We got married, and now our son is almost 15, and he's just amazing. And we have four kids now, and I really feel like all our kids are called to an amazing destiny in life. But there's something.
Does he know how close he came to not being here?
We just told him because with the book coming out,
how'd you handle it?
He's very mature about it, and I tried to explain to him that Satan had a plan for his life to not even be here. And now that we resisted those lies and we decided to keep and look at what his life has impacted now.
Well, let him know that if it be of any interest to him at all, that same thing happened to me. My mother went to the doctor to abort me and he just simply wouldn't do it. So there was an angel there too, right, or I wouldn't be here. Yeah. And, you know.
And that's what I feel like, that he has like some sort, like, I feel like he might be like the next James Robinson. So just get ready.
I'm ready to go sit on the porch.
Yeah. He'll be your pedestal.
Come on. What's his name?
Jess.
Come on, Jess. Let's go, buddy. Yes.
Well, James, we don't want you to go sit on the porch, but we're very, very happy today to welcome Amy and Jess to the show. Welcome to Life Today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you guys. And just for those who maybe missed that program, Amy, set us up a little bit with what you went through, and then that will even bring more, I think, interest into Jess's view of things.
Yeah, so when I had an unplanned pregnancy when I was 19, grew up in church, had an amazing family, but I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. Found myself with an unexpected pregnancy, and even though I knew abortion was wrong my whole entire life, in that moment, abortion became a real option to me, because fear, you know, fear makes you think crazy things, do crazy things. And so I was like, we're going to be homeless. My parents are going to hate me. You know, every terrible thing you can think of went through my mind. And so we thought, you know what, if we have an abortion, we'll deal with the consequences of a broken heart later. Let's just, you know, a quick fix, which we all know is not a, is a lie. And so we went to the abortion clinic, paid for it. They started explaining to me how they do it. And I ended up hyperventilating and passing out in the abortion room. And when I came to, the nurses were fanning me, trying to give me a drink of water. And they said, you are too emotionally distraught to make this decision today. You can come back another day, but today you're not getting an abortion. And so I went back out into the waiting room, and my baby daddy slash now husband of 22 years, I said, we're still pregnant. And we just kind of looked at each other and we're like, okay, let's figure this out. Like, if we are going to be homeless and all of those things that we thought, and of course it wasn't as bad as what we thought it was going to be. Our parents were disappointed in the timing, but they loved us and they supported us. So I ended up having a son named Jess, and
Ta-da! Here he is.
Jess, let me ask you about that though, because that's quite a bit of information to take in. Yeah. How old were you when you found this out?
I think I was 14, 13 to 14, yeah.
And how did it hit you initially?
You know, initially, it kind of just felt, you know, normal, superficial, and I guess just a little bit of context about me. Like, I grew up being somebody that I thought was popular, and all of my conversations with my friends were extremely superficial. We talked about football and the Cowboys all the time, but nothing really deep. And so whenever something like that, you know, hit me, I couldn't really accept it for what it was because maybe I just didn't understand how to process sure. those deep things. Sure. But, you know, over time, my mind just started to grasp what actually almost happened. And that's kind of when I really felt like I was a mistake. Oh. Mm. And so just from that transitional period of the enemy really changing my perspective and perception of reality, I believe that I was a mistake, that I was unwanted, that my parents, they didn't want me then and they don't want me now. Mm-hmm. Even though my entire life, they were amazing parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were the best parents, always there for me, came to all my sports games, like they were just there. But that's just the deception of the enemy. Like he attacks us through deception. And so no matter, just even though that my parents were there for me throughout my entire childhood, they told, like basically, the enemy took that entire childhood and made me feel like they weren't there for me anymore, made me feel like I was still a mistake. And so as a result of that, I believed those lies and really just fell into this anxious depression. Wow. Because I felt like I lost my purpose. I felt like I lost my reason for being here. Mm-hmm. And as I, you know, continue just to wallow in these thoughts, I became really suicidal just because I felt like I didn't have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And it was a really, really difficult time for me because, like I said, I had so many friends, but we never really knew how to discuss emotions with one another. We never really understood how to process deep emotional things. So I felt like I had no one. And of course, I didn't want to tell my parents because I didn't want to disappoint them. I didn't want them to feel guilty.
That's a lot to carry.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was.
How did that change? I'm assuming that there was a turning point here.
There was absolutely a turning point. And this is just the grace of God, the goodness of God. But I remember there was one day I was sitting on the edge of my bed. And I remember I was just praying and just praying out of despair. Because I felt like it was over. I felt like there was no way I could live another day. Because whenever I say that the enemy was attacking me, whenever I say the enemy was attacking me, I mean that there is nothing else that I thought about. Mm-hmm. I thought about the only thing that I ever thought about was that I wasn't supposed to be here. And that's just the deception. That's the deception of the enemy. So I was sitting on the edge of my bed, praying, just crying out to God. God, I don't want to be here. And really, telling him, you know, God, I'm going to end it. I'm going to, you know, pop a bunch of pills and see what happens. And I remember as I said that, or as I thought that, and I really believed that I was going to do it, what I know now is the voice of the Holy Spirit stopped me. And the Holy Spirit said simply, just one sentence, said, Jess, your parents may have said no to you, but I said yes, and you have a plan and a purpose. And, you know, my whole life, I was searching for this one thing called purpose. And finally, the Holy Spirit revealed it to me, that I was predestined before the foundation of the world to be a son of God and to serve him with everything. And wow. I my life has absolutely changed since then, and I'm on fire for him.
Wow. What the enemy intended for evil, God intended for good. Amy, were you aware of what was going on in Jess's life?
He didn't ever tell us. Like, I had no idea that he was struggling with this. And I love too, like, whenever me and my husband were getting married, and when I was 16 weeks pregnant, the pastor wouldn't marry us. He said that he couldn't bless the marriage. And so we, a couple years later, though, he called my husband and he asked for forgiveness, and he felt like it was worst mistake in pastoring history.
Mm. That must have hurt.
Yes, it did. And then, but then when Jess was 16, he asked me to come speak at his church about just pro-love and even his story. He's very open with the congregation of what he had done years before. And so after I spoke, he asked me to come back on stage and he said, Amy, I want to ask you for forgiveness. I asked your husband a long time ago, but I want to ask you for forgiveness. And then he had my son, Jess, come on stage and in front of the whole congregation. And he said, son, or Jess, will you please forgive me for planting seeds of rejection in your heart before you were ever even born? And while you were in your mother's womb, I rejected you.
Oh my God.
And Jess, in front of the whole church, says, I forgive you. And it was such a powerful moment. So I think, you know, and that was when he was 16. I think there were just steps and healing moments that happened. And even now, like, I don't regret telling him his story, because that's where freedom is what we put in the light, is what God can heal. Yeah. And now God uses this. I mean, he has led so many kids to the Lord. He is on fire for God, just got a theology degree, wants to be a pastor. Like, this, and this is just fuel for his life, because his story has brought him purpose.
Yeah. All right. I didn't know that. I knew, you know, obviously your mother's been on and we've heard her story. I didn't know that about it. I don't know if you know this. I was an unplanned pregnancy. I was an unwanted child.
Wow.
I was the product of two people who were married to other people at the time, and I was given up for adoption, adopted by James and Betty Robinson.
Wow.
So I get a lot of that. Here's what I just want to say to you, and I know you know this now, I'm glad, but to anyone out there who is feeling maybe the way Jess did, or if you're an adoptee or dealing with rejection, wondering what your purpose is, I look at that, I look at Jess, I look at me, and I go, man, God went through a lot of trouble to make sure I got here. Mm. And let me tell you, God has such a purpose for those of us who are conceived in sin or unwanted or unplanned. God's planned every single one of us. And I think when you look at these two right here, especially Jess, you can see God working all things together for good, for his purpose. When we just submit to him. So, Jess, man, I just want to encourage you right now.
Powerful, Randy.
He's got his hand on you. He had to go through a little extra effort to make sure you and I got here, buddy. Mm-hmm. And thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Amy, you have a brand new book out called Help Her Be Brave. Tell me about this phenomenal work that you're doing.
Well, you know, going through what I went through, I really have recognized, like, if I would have felt like I could have gone to the church to say, I'm in this situation, I'm pregnant, I don't know what to do. But in that situation, it was the last place I wanted to go to.
Sure.
So we feel like the church can play a powerful role in helping women save lives. And so there are over 300,000 churches in America, and we feel like every church should be able to welcome these women in and really help them with their journey through not only pregnancy, but their whole life. And I know I met one time a woman that came up to me and she said, I am a pro-life atheist. I don't believe in your God, but I believe in the power of your people. And if you could get your people to do something, then this issue wouldn't be an issue anymore. And I was like blown away that an atheist could even recognize the power that we have.
Wow.
So Help Her Be Brave is all about all of the amazing ways that people can get involved in the pro-life movement. I remember it wasn't until my mid to late 30s that I even knew there was a pro-life movement. I thought it was like people that stand outside abortion clinics and scream, you know, because that's what the media wants to make it look like. But that's not the pro-life movement at all. There's amazing resources and help and just so much support that's out there. They just need highlighted. So I really feel like God has put something inside each of us, a strength, a gift, a talent, something that's like, what do you pound your fist on the table and say, someone needs to do something about this? A lot of times, that's us. That's why God, you know, God is fired up about it. So it has tons of ideas, tons of stories of how ordinary people like me and you and all of us here use our strengths and gifts to help a woman be brave and be able to choose life. Because every abortion decision, fear is the root. Mm-hmm. Fear of being alone, fear of my parents hating me, fear of dropping out of school, fear. So how can we help her be brave and eliminate those fears and then help support her and get her plugged into a spiritual family, be discipled, be loved on, be empowered to be the mother God created her to be, whether she chooses to place for her baby for adoption or whether she chooses to parent? How can we help her through this journey and get her plugged into a spiritual family to love on her for the rest of her life if she'll allow it?
I love that.
Yeah. And you know what? You touched on one of the biggest lies in our culture today. And that is that Christians or whatever, they're pro-life, meaning they're just pro-birth. Mm-hmm. They don't really care about kids after they're born, you know, which is kind of one of the dumbest lies, but it is one. What would you say to a young woman who is in a tough situation, has the unplanned pregnancy, and wonders, is there really support out there for me?
Yeah, I would just tell her, you know, get plugged into a church family. Let us help you. Embrace Grace is a ministry that we started where it's support groups for girls with unplanned pregnancies in churches all over the nation. We're in over 700 churches, 47 states and 10 countries. So we want to help her get plugged in. If she can just get her foot in the door into a church, the church has unlimited resources because of all the gifts and strengths that we have inside of us. And so that's the first step, getting her a part of a spiritual family. And like what you were saying, you know, pro-life is a stance, you know, and some people vote for life, but pro-love is an action. And it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's the action and the love that is actually what changes hearts. We can talk about pro-life till we're blue in the face, but without love, we're a clanging cymbal. And so we want to be the love, and not, it's not about behavior modification. It's not trying to fix people. It's about loving people. It's about a heart transformation. And that's what we want to do with these women that are experiencing this pregnancy and feeling alone. We want to help her get back on her feet and be brave.
Wow. Jess, I just want to ask you, with everything that you have gone through up until this stage, what would you say to somebody who thinks, you know what, I am a mistake. I'm not supposed to be here. I was told to abort my son, who's now 23. Wow. They said there was something seriously wrong with him, and I said, absolutely not. And I look at him now, and he's this amazing guy. But I think, what about other people who think, you know what, I'm not supposed to be here. What would you say to them?
You know, for me, the Holy Spirit changed my life. And whenever I truly understood that God, the creator of the universe, he predestined me. And literally, you know, there were millions of opportunities I love Todd White talks about, he gives this illustration of how there are so many different opportunities to reach the egg, but only one does. And it's so funny that the way that he talks about it, but like he chose me.
Yeah.
And just that sheer reality is it defies all statistics. But I think for somebody going through that season, if they were just to take a step back and really examine their thought process, really examine, are their thoughts from the Lord? Mm. Are their thoughts self-seeking? Are their thoughts rational? Think about the sacrifices that their parents have made or whoever else they feel betrayed by. Think about the true actions. Just because, like I was saying, for me, deception by the enemy was so huge. Mm-hmm. And the moment that I really understood, whenever the Holy Spirit spoke to me, the moment that I really understood that I was supposed to be here, the big thing that happened in my mind was that I saw my parents rightly again.
Wow.
Whenever I was in that season of depression, I saw them as enemies, opponents, and it was subconscious. I never ever told them that. I never wanted to treat them that way, but I saw them as somebody that was out to get me.
Yeah.
But whenever the Holy Spirit came in, he renewed my mind, and I saw them for who they really were, which were loving parents that were by my side, and that they made a mistake a long time ago, but really, they truly were for me.
And I think that's wonderful. Thank you for saying that. And we've just got a few seconds left, Amy, but I really want to address one more thing, and that's the woman who's watching right now who had an abortion, whose son is not sitting next to her. What do they really need to hear?
Well, I just think that, you know, God, we need to tell your story. Revelation 12:11 says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You are not disqualified for ministry. You are qualified. And God wants to use you to help save lives. Be the person that you wish you had years ago in your life when you made your abortion decision, because God wants you to use you to help save lives. And you are qualified. Get involved in the movement. Tell your story, because God will heal every single time you tell your story.
Randy, I'm so glad you asked that question. That is absolutely huge. You need this book. Help her be brave. And I'm going to tell you how to get hold of it. But first of all, I want to take you to an area of the world where people are dying simply because they don't have a cup of clean water. But you and I can change that. Watch this.
Does the water ever make the children sick?
As veces es the agua crianças fica doente quando eles pegam.
Fica doente.
Yes, they do get sick.
Moranang kararaho.
Would you ask her if any of the children in this village have died from drinking the water?
Às vezes ou essa criança fica doente. Você conhece outras pessoas ou crianças faleceu quando eles pegam esta água?
Ah.
E vai mostrar, não é?
Okay, so she's going to take us, and we'll get to see with our own eyes the kind of water that is her only choice to give her children. Oh, my gosh. This is what she comes to. I mean, this water is filthy. You know, I noticed the mom, she kind of tried to like clear it as if somehow that would get rid of the germs or would get rid of the disease. But I mean, you can see this water is, I mean, it's absolutely filthy. I mean, look at what she's pouring in here. And this is all they have. And I asked them, do you drink this? And she said, yeah, we wait till the mud settles and then we drink it. And so that's why so many children in these villages are dying, because there's so much disease in this water. And that's why water for life literally means that. When we put a well in a village, we give life to the whole village for their whole life. And the need is urgent and the need is now. Will you please stand with us? Will you help us to give life to children who otherwise are drinking this and dying? You know, that was my very first trip to Africa, and I'll never forget following those moms and going to the only water source they had, and that's what it was. And while I was standing there, I was just looking slightly further up this kind of little muddy river, and there's animals in the water, and I was just absolutely horrified. I mean, part of me wanted to step in and stop one of the children from drinking, and then I thought, this is all they've got. And that's why Water for Life right now is so important, because this is happening. You know, we're sitting here in a nice studio in America, but at this very moment, these mothers are walking down those paths, and the only water they can get is the water that has already taken the life of some of their other children. They are not asking for a lot. They just want to be able to give their children clean water. And maybe you think, well, why don't they just walk further to where they can't? They're hundreds of miles away. This is the only water they have. So we have committed here at Life that we are going to continue putting wells in villages and saving lives, Randy, and we can do it.
We have. And, you know, the good news is we've been doing this for many, many years. And I say we, I mean you. I mean people just like you, many of you actually watching. And here's the breakdown. In order to change people's lives, to save lives, I've been back to some of these places, and it becomes a focal point for villages. It's this community well, this pump with clean water coming out, and it changes the complexion of an entire region. And to do that in one area, the average cost is $4,800 for a well that lasts for most people's lifetime. And those, that one well, typically, it varies, but typically will service about 1,000 people. So hear what I'm saying. $4,800 drills one well that will change the lives and save many lives of 1,000 people. Some of you can do that. You can drill a well today. You can provide the funds. We've got the people in place. We've been doing this. We're ready to go. You can provide the funds to do that right now. And if you can do that, I pray you would. Others of you, partner with other viewers who are watching right now. $48 will provide clean water for a lifetime for 10 people. $144 for 30 people. But give what you can. If God's put it on your heart right now and He's touching you and you're hearing from Him, do what He tells you to do. That's the most important thing. Hear God and obey. We're ready. We're ready to reach out. We're ready to change people's lives. We're ready to give them water for life. We're waiting on you. Go to the phone, go online, give the best gift you can.
Dirty, disease-filled water. How desperate would a mother need to be to consider giving this contaminated substance to her child? For many mothers and their families living in extreme poverty, this is their only choice. But with your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, disease-free water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you Speak Your Name, devotions and declarations on the reality of Jesus. Filled with stunning imagery, these 40 encouraging devotions by Lainey Renee serve as a reminder of the power of Jesus' name. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Be Refreshed pitcher. This beautiful ceramic pitcher is decorated with Proverbs 11:25 and is sure to make a lovely addition to your table or home. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our brand new inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Randy, Sheila, I travel all over the world as the Director of Missions for Life Today. I continue to hear some of the same stories. Death. Why? Simply because they don't have clean drinking water. These mothers who wanted to give life to her children. She wanted to bring health to her family by bringing water home, but she ends up bringing contaminated water, if she can find any, and it brings death to her children. I beg you as parents, I'm a parent myself, help our viewers understand none of us want to bring death into our home. None of us want to bring contaminated water to our children. We want to bring water that's going to give them life. Please help our viewers know that they can give and be an answer to a mother's cry. I need your help today.
You really can make the difference today. I pray you'll go to the phone, go online, help us give water for life. And we've got a great gift for you, Sheila. Tell people what to ask for today.
Yeah, I love Amy's description of the pro-love movement. Boy, if every believer got a little flame in their heart for pro-love movement. So the book, Help Her Be Brave, for any gift at all, ask for Amy's book. And Amy, Jess, thank you both so much for being on the program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And thank all of you for watching. We'll see you again next time here on Life Today.
Bye.
Tomorrow on Life Today, 2-time Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, and actress Jamie Grace describes her struggles behind the scenes. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.